Chapter 7, Nephrology. Topic 9, Nephrolithiasis. In this segment of our podcast, we're delving into the topic of nephrolithiasis, a common condition encountered in clinical practice. There are several types of stones, each with unique characteristics and treatment implications. These include calcium phosphate stones, uric acid stones, ammonium magnesium phosphate stones, also known as staghorn calculi, and cystine stones. Despite the differences in their composition, the clinical presentation of these stones is remarkably similar. Patients with nephrolithiasis often present with acute, colicky flank pain that radiates to the groin. This pain is typically severe and may be accompanied by hematuria. These symptoms are indicative of the stone's movement within the urinary tract, causing irritation and potential injury to the ureters and other structures. Complications of nephrolithiasis can include pyelonephritis, a type of urinary tract infection that has ascended to the kidneys, causing inflammation. Ureteral obstruction is another significant concern, as the stone can block the flow of urine, leading to hydronephrosis. It's essential to recognize and treat these complications promptly to prevent further renal damage. The management is often due to primary hyperparathyroidism, malabsorption syndromes such as those seen in inflammatory bowel disease, where fat malabsorption leads to increased oxalate absorption and subsequent hyperoxaluria, ethylene glycol intoxication, idiopathic hypercalciuria, and a family history of stones. Diagnostic evaluation includes urinalysis, which may reveal blood and red blood cells indicative of stone presence. Non-contrast abdominal computed tomography is the gold standard for detecting stones, while stone analysis can help determine the stone's composition. A thorough workup of the underlying etiology is also essential for targeted management. Initial management focuses on hydration and analgesia. For stones smaller than 7 millimeters, ureteral dilation using medications like tamsulosin or nifedipine, combined with increased fluid intake, is recommended. Stones larger than 7 millimeters may require lithotripsy or a ureteral stent. Decompression via nephrostomy or ureteral stent is crucial in cases where the patient is septic and obstructed. For individuals with calcium oxalate stones resulting from idiopathic hypercalciuria, thiazide diuretics represent an important management strategy. Idiopathic hypercalciuria is diagnosed through elevated 24-hour urine calcium levels. Thiazide diuretics help reduce calcium excretion in the urine, thereby decreasing the risk of stone formation. This treatment approach is particularly beneficial for patients with recurrent stone formation. Next are uric acid stones. Uric acid stones are associated with hyperuricemia and conditions like tumor lysis syndrome. Acidic urine is also a contributing factor. Uric acid stones are unique in that they are radiolucent. This means they do not appear on X-ray imaging, which poses a challenge for diagnosis. The primary treatment for uric acid stones involves the alkalization of urine with potassium citrate. Alkalizing the urine increases the solubility of uric acid, facilitating the dissolution of stones and preventing new stone formation. Ammonium magnesium phosphate stones are another type. These stones are often associated with infections by protease-producing bacteria, including Proteus, Klebsiella, Pseudomonas, Staphylococcus, and ureaplasma. The primary treatment involves antibiotics to address the underlying bacterial infection, which contributes to stone formation. These stones also frequently require surgical intervention due to their size and shape, which makes them unlikely to pass spontaneously and can lead to significant obstruction and kidney damage. Lastly, cystine stones. Cystine stones result from a dibasic amino acid transporter abnormality and have an autosomal recessive inheritance pattern, making a family history a significant risk factor. Cystine stones, arising from a genetic disorder affecting cystine transport, can be identified by a positive urinary cyanide nitroprusside test, which detects the presence of cystine in the urine. Additionally, hexagonal crystals seen on urinalysis are indicative of cystinuria. Managing cystine stones involves measures to increase the solubility of cystine in the urine, such as alkalization and increased fluid intake, to prevent stone formation. As an aside, there are also medication-related causes of nephrolithiasis. Certain medications can contribute to the formation of kidney stones, including indinavir and acyclovir. Indinavir, used in the treatment of human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, and acyclovir, used for viral infections, can precipitate in the kidneys, leading to stone formation. Awareness of these potential side effects is essential for preventing and managing medication-induced nephrolithiasis.